We are starting a new series this morning called Fanning the Flame. Make sure before you leave, you get one of these cards. There are four questions relating to four different spiritual disciplines. But the Fanning the Flame series was birthed from a place in Revelation 3, 16 and 17. Maybe I should just quickly share that with you and lay a foundation as we depart here. So I know it's next weekend, it's Easter weekend, so some of you might go away. Make sure that you download the sermon or watch that on Shofar Online TV. We've got the audio as well as the video available afterwards because I believe it will help us. But it's birthed from that place in a famous scripture in Revelation 3:16 that says this, I know all the things, it says, but since you are like lukewarm water, neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. You say I'm rich, I have everything I want, I don't need a thing. And you don't realize that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. And it sounds so familiar to the days where we live in. We seem to be rich and we seem to have everything. You know, and I remember as a young boy already reading the scripture, it's a scary scripture. It's really a scary scripture to me. Back then I was worried when I read that scripture and I said, Lord, but will I be the one that's in your mouth or how can I ensure? And it actually brings me to two questions. Is who is he talking to, John? Who is he talking to here? Is he talking to us? Is he talking to somebody else? And how can I prevent from being spit out? That's the two obvious questions that came to my mind. And I want you to notice that it is so obvious, but sometimes we don't see that. He's distinguishing between hot or cold, lukewarm and hot. He's definitely not talking to those that are cold. In other words, those that are out in the world not serving Christ. I just want to bring clarity here. He's not talking about the guy out there that's not even proclaiming to know Christ or not even having a relationship. It's nor the hot one. So it leaves us with us. I'm not saying you're not hot. I'm just saying it is a message to the church. It's not a message to the world out there. All you sinners, God is going to spit you out. You're going to go to hell. He's actually talking to us. And we need a word of warning to us that we never reach such a place that we become lukewarm in Christ. And when you read that, and it's such a huge word and such a word of warning, you ask yourself the question, Lord, how can I prevent from reaching such a place where I can be spit out? And I believe it's all of our hearts this morning that none of us wants to be spit out. And that Christ says, I do not know you. But what I figured out as I've been walking for the years with the Lord for more than 20 years now. And as you go through seasons and you go through different times, there are times when you experience God's presence. There are times when it's dry. But I have figured out there are certain spiritual disciplines that we can never walk away from. There are certain things that we have to walk in and abide in that. Irrespective of where you are, how long you've been serving Christ. And sometimes we tend to neglect those spiritual principles. But those spiritual principles, actually I want to say disciplines, because some of them is actually as a discipline as well, because it brings us into alignment. If we do not practice them, it actually leads us to a place where we have the chance that we become lukewarm. So over the next 4 weeks, we're going to share some of that. There are probably more, but we've highlighted some of them. And we'll be sharing some of that this morning. But before we go there, actually, we've got a clip that started already. Can we watch that clip, and then I'll share some thoughts about that.
smarter to travel in groups.
Hey, that's so prophetic, eh? It's very soft. I can't hear myself. Oh, there we go. Okay. It's a message not just for children, it's for all of us here this morning. And I share with you this morning the power of agreement. The power of agreement. This is scripture. Let's go back to right where it started in Genesis. A very prophetic scripture. Genesis 2 verse 18, I believe. Can we go there quickly, JP, if you can get that flag that up for us as well. And maybe my wife, where is she? She's still there. She was there for a moment. Juanri? She's going to help me preach. I'm just going to hand over to her now. Genesis 2:18 says, "Then the Lord God said, it's not good for man to be alone. And all the men said, amen. Then the Lord God said, it's not good for man to be alone. Amen. Where are the bachelors? You should say, amen, man. Make it a prayer request. That was one of my prayer requests. God, I want a woman. I want a godly woman. God, I want..." And so you carry on. You're praying all those prayers. Huh? Who never prayed? Or if you've got... yeah, if you're single, you're probably praying that. But I prayed that prayer. I'm not shy about that. I pray that for a long time. I want a wife, Lord. I want a wife. And that's all you think about. I just want a wife. And then, you know, you think, how is that going to happen? And then it happens like that. Like that. You see this suddenly one day you stand in church. And I should tell you how my story worked. I was an usher back then. So I placed myself strategically in front of her. I made sure I sit here when she sits there. And then I'll worship. And then I'll just make sure I'm close to her. But anyway, it all happened. I'm not going to give you the tips. You can figure that out yourself. All I can say to you is it was fruitful ground. And now we're here today, three girls later, and all of that. But it's not good for man to be alone. And in the natural, that's reality. I figured that out. I love making food. I love braai and all of that. And I joked. I said, when it comes to a cake, I realize it's not good for man to be alone. You need a woman to bake the cake. But women are not just called for that reason. But a couple of weeks ago, she had to go to a conference or weekend retreat in Cape Town, where they were having all the ladies of the different churches together, planning for Awaken, etc. And so I had the girls with me for the whole weekend, and we did all kinds of fun stuff. But I'm limited to, you know, I'm just a father, and I'm just a man, and all of that. So on the Sunday after church, we were preparing to pick her up at the airport, and it's about 2 hours from that. And they're just excited because they haven't seen their mom for the whole weekend. And then we got the phone call, and Namibia decided to cancel the flight. So they're only coming back the following day, not just an hour or two. So now I had to break the news to the girls, especially to older ones. The other ones, I've actually got a clip at home. It was so funny. When I broke the news to the older two, they were crying and sobbing, and the other one is just jumping on the couch. She doesn't know about all of this. But anyway, so it's all this management expectation that has to take place. They were expecting their mom to come back home, and I have to tell them it's only tomorrow afternoon, 4 o'clock, not this afternoon, 4 o'clock. And then they started crying and crying, and I'm like, okay, you have to calm down now. There's nothing I can change. And oh, God, they're crying and crying. After a while, about half an hour, I thought, now I'm not going to win this. Oh, I'm just going to go to take an afternoon nap, and I'll leave them. That's a solution for the fathers. Just anyway, don't take my advice here. So I'm lying there in the bed, and I'm hearing, ah, they're crying. And I thought, nothing that I say will change anything now. And I hear the one says to her sister, "Wie gaan my boek oortrek?" How's that in English? Cover my book. Who's going to do that? And I'm like, oh, there's another job that I have to do that I can't do. And I hear the other one says to her sister, "And who's gonna, which is in Afrikaans, do my hair, they make a ponytail and all of that." I'm like, oh, no, I can't do that either. And it's school tomorrow morning. So needless to say, I had to drive to a woman to cover the book. I had to go to Marlies the afternoon just say, okay, it's not good for a man to be alone. Maybe you can do that. I can't do that. But I figured out that is so true. That it's not good for man to be alone. Bachelors, amen, huh? You'll discover that you cannot make it on your own. But there's more than that in the scripture. I believe God spoke to us prophetically as well to the church. Because what would happen just soon after that is that the fall would take place. Genesis 3, you can go and read that yourself. Satan comes, he tempts Adam and Eve, and then it all happens as we know. They ate, not of the apple, okay, of the fruit. And then sin was there, and the relationship was broken down. And it wasn't that God said, okay, now I need to make a plan. What shall we do now? Because we need to fix this. No, no, no. God said right at the beginning already, it is not good for man to be alone. And with those words, I believe God spoke into existence his church, actually. Not that the church is the ultimate answer. I'm just saying Christ is the answer. But Christ handed over the message, and the church became the vehicle of Christ's work here on earth. So Christ started it. Just hang in for a few more minutes. I have to use that as an illustration. Still, Christ started it all, and then he had to hand it over to the church and say, finish this. You're my vehicle. See, the moment when we come together, two or three, gathered in his presence, he's there now. We're going to see that in a moment. Just sit down. Maybe I can use you in the next minute or two again. The moment when that took place, Christ is actually giving us the blueprint of how he's going to do that. He's saying, I'm going to, actually he goes on in the next, this, your seed will be, he will send another seed. He talks about another seed that he will send and will trample upon your head. And he's talking about Christ that's coming, but then also the fact that it's not good to be alone. I want to say that, and I want to make a statement here this morning, not just in the natural for all the men and women, but for every person sitting here this morning, I'm going to say it as the scripture says it. It's not good for you to be alone. It's dangerous. It's dangerous for you to be alone. Christ knew the danger of us walking on our own. Therefore, he said, it's not good for you to be alone. For some other reason, we've got the ability, whenever we're on our own, we mess it up. Huh? You need the woman sometimes, and you need the husband sometimes, when the two together makes one. That's why we don't, the mess with that, it doesn't add up, but Christ says the two become one. But more than that, the family of Christ, we need each other. I want you to turn to the person next to you. I did the same exercise, I did it a bit different in the first service. I said to the guys, turn to your wife, not to the woman next to you, and tell her you love her. And now I'm just going to say to you, turn to the person next to you, and just tell him, I need you and I love you. And you tell that person, it's not good for you to be alone. It's true. It's not good for you to be alone. I'm taking a few steps back because I want to talk about the power of agreement. Okay? So I'm laying a foundation here this morning. It might sound a bit elementary type of doctrine, but bear with me. You see, we come to Christ in various... let me retrace because I'm going to confuse you here. We come to Christ at different stages and different ways how you've been led to him. But one thing is sure, and I want to make it clear this morning. You cannot come to Christ because your parents were Christians. Or you grew up in a house, even when they were God-fearing. Let's say we were privileged to have that, because not everybody, and I think many of us this morning sitting here, didn't have that privilege. Growing up in a God-fearing family when the environment was so beneficial for you to be influenced, that even that cannot give Christ to you. You need to make that decision. We have the responsibility to influence influence the environment for the Holy Spirit to influence them, but we cannot choose for them. You cannot receive Christ through tradition, because my parents were in this church and so far, whatever church. You cannot. There's a confrontation that needs to take place. The confrontation with your lifestyle, my lifestyle, because we were born in sin. Although we think we were angels, we grew up in a cool house. No. You were born in sin. All of us were born with a heart of stone, Jeremiah says, and I'll remove that and give you a heart of flesh. And there's a confrontation that needs to take place. Some or another time, we need to have a moment with Christ, look him into the eyes and say, and Christ needs to ask him, are you willing to continue in this way? Do you want to exchange that? There's an exchange that needs to take place. Actually, in John 3, Nicodemus comes to Jesus, listen to this, at night. And only recently I discovered that again, or that made it's a new revelation to me as well. Why would he come at night? And we all know that the Bible actually says that he was afraid of what the others would think, because he was a tollenar and a Pharisee. Tax collector, whatever. He was in a certain group of people, and he couldn't do that during the daytime, because what will the people say if he talks to Jesus? So I'll rather go in secret at night, because I see something and I want something, but I'd rather do that in darkness. And here's the thing, and this is the thing this morning. So many of us wants to make decisions, whether it's following Christ, whether it's about changing a lifestyle, but we want to do it at night. Because if I put up my hand during the day, everybody will see, and then they will challenge me on my decision. So what's happening now is I'm on my own. And what I figured out, making decisions at night is not very fruitful, because it's not good for you to be alone. I have had Sundays when I see the Spirit of the Lord is moving, and I sense the Lord saying there are people here this morning that needs to make a decision for Christ. And I've sat there myself, and I know in various places that sometimes we are challenged by the Spirit of God, and you know you need to react, but you think about what will they think about, and what will the person next to me think, and no, let me not get up, because then they will think, oh, is he struggling with that, or is he going to make, you know what? And then we decide, okay, let me just make the decision at home. This afternoon, it's just me and Christ, and we'll have business on our own. It's not good for you to be alone, because you know what? If I don't know, if you don't get up during the day, you'll be on your own in the night. And that's, I think, the majority of us starting on the back foot already, serving Christ. You're starting already admitting that you have a fear of man. So you're feeding that from the start. That's why Christ says, come to me publicly. Don't be ashamed of that, because you defeat, or I won't say defeat it necessarily, but you give him a big blow, because you'll figure out in your walk with Christ that you have to face that continually, the fear of man. If you can't even start that way, publicly declaring and say, Christ, I'm about to follow you, I want to follow you, I don't care about the world, you're going to struggle on your own. So we come to that place, and Nicodemus came to Jesus, and Jesus says to him, Nicodemus, there's only one way how you can come to me. Not through tradition, not through all the laws that you have, through a process called rebirth. I want to say to you this morning, there's no way that you can come to Christ unless you've come to that place where there's an exchange of hearts that takes place. But there's something that's happening, and I know it's, like I said, it's very foundational this morning, but I want to take us back to that place, because something happens when Christ gives us a new heart. And I want to compare that. Can I have my wife here? Can I have you? The moment you meet that beautiful woman or your wife, there's something that takes place. You can't keep your eyes off her. You want to be around her. You want to talk to her. Because that's just natural. The two, that is what God wanted it to be like. That's why I find it very hard when people come to me, they want to get married. And they want to do it the Christian way. So you're going to do the... You can go and marry in the court if you want, but if you want to come to us, we need to do it properly. So we need to go through the preparation. And then sometimes you figure out along the way, I don't know if they're under the same roof. I think they live under the same roof. So now you're in an awkward situation, but you have to ask the question for their own sake so that they can understand the purity and the spiritual significance of this. So somewhere along the line, you ask them, just tell me, you're living together. Yeah, we do, but in the same house, in different rooms, but we don't do anything funny. And I'm like, man, I find it hard to believe. Because the moment I met her, there's a desire, there's something that's drawing me to her. That's natural. I'm not saying that you're allowed to do it. I'm just saying that's something natural that's taking place here. You cannot deny that it is there. There are barriers that God has placed and say, you cannot, but you're battling with that. Now you're telling me that you're working against the natural there. I'm talking about husband, girl and boyfriend. That's why I don't advise people to live under the same roof, different rooms, because some or another way, sit down, maybe. Yeah, take him a hand, donkey. I sat with a guy this week, same thing. Young guy from another town. And so he shares with me his struggles. normal struggles that a young man would go through, you know, in terms of the sexual part, I want to say. And he wants to stay pure. So he says to me, you know, he needs to stay pure, and he's got this lady that he had this day, the conversation over WhatsApp, and I don't know where. So he decided he's probably going to, he should stay pure, but he's just going to evangelize her. I said, no, you're not going to evangelize her. You're going to run away from her. Because that's what the Bible says. Don't try and evangelize, I want to say, the devil. And I'm not saying she's the devil. But we don't play with those things. Because it's natural. You don't know the strength of that. And the same, and I'm comparing that this morning with my wife and husband and wife, because Christ compares his relationship with the church with that as well. When we come to Christ, when John 3, when the rebirth takes place, there's a desire. Romans 8:15 says, we have the desire to call him Abba, Father, Papa, Daddy. I want to be with you. And I want to say to you this morning, we're talking about the power of agreement. The moment you come to Christ, like as my wife, when we came together, I wanted to be with her. I wanted to be around her. I wanted to talk to her. There's an exchange of hearts that's taking place that's calling out, Abba, Father, I want to talk to you. I want to pray. I want to be in your presence. If that doesn't take place or that didn't take place, there's two things that's wrong. And I'll compare it with my wife. If I don't talk to her, if we don't have communication, then it says something. Either there's a breakdown in our communication somewhere, and we didn't have that in your marriage. You would know. Some other time you're going to disagree and then you don't talk to one another. You know there's something. We don't talk and... You see how long we can stay on like that. But we all know something is wrong. There's a breakdown in communication. Or if you do that long enough, you grow apart from one another. And here's the thing spiritually. If you don't have a desire this morning to communicate with Christ through prayer, it's either one or two things. There's something wrong in your relationship with Christ. And I say it lightly, and I want to urge you this morning to go back to that place and say, Christ, why do I not have? It's possibly a chance that you're lukewarm. And yes, the grace, God is inviting you back to that place where you can sit down and say, I cannot wait to talk to him this morning. I cannot wait to hear what he's saying. I cannot wait to be in his presence. Or, because it happens, I want to admit to you, we go through seasons and times when our presence, the presence of God is drier and we don't experience that. But we need to push in and we need to seek him continuously. But it does happen in our walk with God that sometimes it's dry. But we continue to push in. But if you don't experience him, if the first reason is not the reason why you're experiencing that, there's a possible second reason here this morning that's a bit more strong. But I'd rather be frank and honest with you. The chances are good that rebirth never took place in your life. You could have joined a church. You could join a crowd. You could be part of the family, do family worship and family going to church, but you never came to that place when you chose Christ. And I want to say to you this morning, as we build upon this power of agreement, it starts with a desire to communicate. All of us this morning, if we confess to be children of God, there should be a desire in your life to communicate with God. Why? Not because you are smart, not because I am smart, because God has placed it there. That's why I'm focusing on the rebirth. It's something that we get for free. It's his spirit inside of us, his heartbeat inside of us, that one that's yearning for that connection. They say, I cannot wait to be with him. I cannot. I want to. I want to know more. I want to be at that place. And if you don't have that, like I say, go back to that place and discover why you don't. Maybe there's a breakdown, or maybe it's maybe that you only figure out now that you've never had a relationship with Christ that you need to choose today. Maybe. Say, God, I need to choose you. I want the exchange to take place. The exchange of hearts. Let's look at that scripture, Deuteronomy 32, verse 30 to 31. There's a parallel that I want to draw this morning between that in Matthew 18, verse 18 to 20. And we're saying to one another this morning that there should be a desire in us to communicate as we talk about the power of agreement. But the scripture says, how could one chase 1,000 and 2 put 10,000 to flight unless their rock had sold them and the Lord had surrendered them? For their rock is not like our rock, even our enemies themselves being judges. Okay, I want you to notice that I'm comparing two scriptures. I purposefully picked these two scriptures, one out of the Old Testament and one the New. We're talking about the principle and a discipline that we have to practice to prevent ourselves from becoming lukewarm. I laid a foundation this morning by saying to you that we should have a desire to pray. But that's just normal. That's what Christ gives to all of us. But it goes beyond that. Matthew 18, verse 18 to 20, we'll look at the parallels here. Surely I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. There's a saying, and you heard it probably a lot of times, it says, those who pray together, stay together. Those who pray together, stay together. Isn't that true for our family? Isn't that true for the church? If we can keep on praying together, I tell you, a lot of the problems will be solved. But the Bible talks here about something specifically. He says, one can chase 1,000, and then he doesn't say, and two can chase 2,000. He's talking about the exponential growth of coming, or exponential potential, when two or three of us can gather together, come into agreement. And God says, when brothers and sisters can come into agreement, align themselves with my purpose, I add myself to the equation that gives an increase result. I want to say to you this morning, what Christ says in Matthew 18, can we go to that scripture? He says to the people, assuredly, some of the translation says, I'm about to tell you the truth. That's what some of the translations say in English. I love that translation. Why? For this reason. Christ comes to his disciples. Now, he's never given them any reason that they shouldn't believe him, because he never lied. He's Christ. But now he's about to tell them something that will blow their minds, that he needs to tell them before he's about to tell them. Listen, I'm not going to lie. This is the truth, what I'm about to tell you. Anything you ask in my name, you can have that. My Father will give it to you. But hey, this is something more. When two of you can come together and you can agree, you can have anything. But there's a catch, not the Ferrari. In my name, we'll come back to that one. He says, this is so amazing. I want you to recognize this. I want you to realize this. That is, that you are limited. It's not good for you to be alone. And maybe you sit here this morning, you thought that you can go through life on your own prayers, and I sense God is saying to some of us here this morning that the reason why you're not experiencing breakthrough is you need to gather yourself around other people. There's a spiritual principle involved here. For that reason, the same reason as Genesis 2:18, for it's not good for you to be alone. You can accomplish a lot of things. And God has given you the key, me and you the keys. And we can pray and we can move and shake heaven and earth and do a lot of things. But it's limited here this morning. It's limited till that place when we come into agreement. When Christ says, okay, now you can really move it. Not just 2,000, but 10,000. 10 times more. Because you understand that place of coming into agreement. There's an increased effectivity, or an increased effort with increased effectivity. See, sometimes, if we can get this revelation, I believe we'll see more people praying together. And maybe you sit here this morning and you say, Jacob, but you've got an agenda. You just want us to come to the prayer meeting. Well, I've got an agenda because I know the difference. I know, and we'll get to a testimony at the end. So I'm just honest with you. If I can push you to that direction so that you can see that the power of Christ that can, how he can move mountains if we can come into agreement in that condition. Not just coming together because I'm asking you, or cell leader ask you, or somebody ask you. We can come into agreement in unity, led by the Spirit of God. We'll move the mountains. We'll see things happening in the spiritual realm, in our town, in this nation. We can bring ourselves to that place. But the problem is, it's not always a lack of revelation, because for many of us sitting here this morning, that's not news to you. We all heard about corporate prayer. We all heard that the church sometimes have a intercession meeting. We all know that. Can I be honest with you? I think sometimes It's just, and I'm going to say it, soft and clear. I think it's an exposure of our hearts sometimes. I don't want you to feel guilty. I just want us to get to that place and realize that sometimes we don't have a desire to do the Father's business. I'm not saying you should do ours. I'm just saying we should come into agreement. Even if you start at home. If the bar is too high this morning for you to say, well, I can't join the church, but hey, man, you can pray with your wife. You can start at home. You can pray with a friend and say, listen, this week we need to start something. We need to come into agreement because we underestimate the power of prayer, of praying together. Just start somewhere. Just start at the school. Just start at the hostel. Just start at work. But start somewhere and say, we need to pray together because the moment we come into agreement, there's a tenfold increase that's taking place. Let's go back to Matthew. Or maybe to the Deuteronomy. Sorry, JP. Can we go to the Deuteronomy? You see, before I share on that, it's easy. Sometimes we get bad news. Let's for instance, say you get bad news about your health, which is not good news. What would you do? You pick up the phone or you take the phone and you send an SMS to everybody out there. Just pray for me. Help me. Can we just stand in agreement? Isn't that the truth? I would do that. I just get a lot of people around me to say, pray with me. I had this bad news and we're going to trust God. Why don't we do the same with God's business? Abortion is on the table at the moment. Can I be honest with you? It's on the table. On our government's table. On the desk, in the middle of the government, busy discussing that, legalizing that. Shouldn't we as a church, in general, us here this morning, be of one mind and say, God, we do not allow that. Look at what's happening next to our neighbors. And we could talk a lot about that. We can be worried. I mean, I've been involved in all these political discussions and maybe this and maybe that. I just want to say to you, for the record, I believe God is in this all. He's busy setting the stage for him to move. And the 22nd of April, I don't know who of you have been following that. It's more than just the old Umi uncle that's coming together, just gathering people to pray, and then we're going to do a prayer. It's prophetically, it's a big thing that's about to take place. Provided that we are in unity and that we come into agreement. Not that we drive there for whosoever is going to be there and we're going to have a nice time over there. We are living exciting times to see what God is about to do. If people can get into unity there, it will be the biggest prayer meeting of people coming into agreement in the history of South Africa. If what they are predicting will take place. Now I'm talking about them because it's all in the news. But I want you to notice what will happen after that. And salvation will not come from man. It will not come from a political party. It will come from God. Because people agree, if we can agree to that place. The same in our country. When we stand in agreement for our country, for our nation, for our people, for our church, for our town. When we come to that place, we will see mountains being moved. You see, that scripture says, how could one chase 1,000, do put 10,000 to flight? Because there's a key, unless they rock. It's not a one and a two, it's about the rock. There's three things. There's a one, there's a two, and there's a rock. And with that, the whole equation changes. Let's go to the following scripture. Matthew, surely I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you that if two of you agree, there's a condition there. You need to agree. We'll come back to that word right now. On earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name. That's where it disqualifies you from the Ferrari. Because that might not be what God wants. We can't ask anything in my name. It talks about bringing us in alignment with God's kingdom. So God, what's on your agenda this morning? And as I close here this morning, I want to quickly talk about this word agree. Because we're talking about the power of agreement. Let's unpack that word agree when he says when you agree. See, here's some truth about that. You can never agree or you can't agree if you're not in the other person's presence. You can say to me, no, but we spoke about that beforehand. No, I'm talking about the Spirit of God. I'm in a meeting, we're sitting, we're coming together, and the Spirit of God places something in this sister of mine, and she shares something, and now I have to witness or listen to that and decide whether I agree with that or not. Not talking about an agenda that we all received beforehand, and we're going to pray about it. I'm talking about collectively disciplining yourself, coming together with another party, listening. You cannot agree if you're not in each other's presence. No social media, no technology that we have today can replace that authentic relationship that Christ, I believe, we wouldn't be able to do that. Christ means it. We can't have church on a Sunday, everybody sitting at home, and just one person here standing here, and now we're going to watch TV. There are certain places where we have to do that because there's no other way. And I want to say that's also limited. But if you are in a close proximity of people around you, of other believers, it's not good for you to be alone. You've got no excuse to sit there and not to get into agreement. You cannot get into agreement with another person if you do not listen to them. Men, should I say it to myself? You must listen. But we need to listen to the other party, to the other person's heart, to his message, to determine, that's what the Spirit of God says to me as well. I agree. Yes. Amen. It's very silent here this morning. I want to urge us to that place where we can start agreeing more. Amen, huh? Because by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word shall be established, says Corinthians. By the mouth of two or three. So every time we agree, it's not something the church is, you probably thought, these people that sit like cows. If you can't do that, then at least just say yes. Amen. That's the power of agreement. If we can realize the moment you agree, it establishes something in your life. In prayer as well. That's reality. Okay, so next time we're going to say, then somebody, everybody's going to laugh. You cannot learn, here's it. You cannot learn to discern God's voice or your ability to hear God's voice correctly outside the presence of other believers. Okay, there's two ways. Maybe I should just recap again. All of us can hear or have the ability to hear God's voice. All of us in this room. You don't, thank God we're not living in the dark ages when only the priest could tell you what God says and you didn't have a Bible. There was bad days back then, you know. They told you and you didn't have Bibles. I mean, you have to thank God that you have 10 Bibles. Some of us got more or what, or at least one Bible. And that you can read God's word and that you can hear his voice and that he speaks to you. But the thing is, sometimes I'm not sure if I hear God's voice correctly, eh? I'm not always sure, so I have to taste it. Only two ways how you can taste that. And it's always externally. Because you hear the voice internally, through the word, or for whatever way. So you have to taste that externally through signs and things that God will make happen, and you say, okay, well, I can witness with that. It's my, or through other believers. So how do you know that you hear God's voice correctly, and how can you agree if you're not in the presence of other believers coming together? How do you know that you're prophetically in tune with what God is doing in the bigger picture if we never come together in agreement, in prayer, or with other believers, bouncing with one another what God is doing in our lives? You know what God is doing? He's never singling out people. He's normally doing it in a group. So the moment he moves, he's giving different people, more or less the same, I want to say, message, what leads to witness with that. So that there won't be any lone rangers out there. I agree. Yes, I've been sensing this. See, agreement in the Spirit brings us to a place of collective victory. And we start reaping where we've not sowed. Can I say that again? I use my children as an example. When I hand out sweets, they all want to make sure they're in that group of people because they want as well. And when we come to Christ, when we come to agreement, you might come to this specific prayer meeting or this gathering where we come into agreement, and you never had that specific request on your heart, and now God uses a brother to pray for that specific request, and guess what? You're also going to receive the benefit because he prayed, but it was a collective prayer for all of us. You're sowing or you're reaping where you've not sowed. Don't you want that? Don't we want that? To say, Lord, I'll take that one. I never thought about that, but I'll take that one. It's for free. I can work with that. But also, agreement teaches us something about spiritual maturity. brings us to that place where we can lay down our desires, our requests. And I'm not saying there's not a place to pray for your requests. There's a place. But sometimes the power of agreement forces us to that place where we are not the immediate beneficiaries of what we are praying for. So we lay down our requests. We say to the Lord, that is not now important. I've got pain here, or I've got a need here. And sometimes God will challenge you just to say, okay, my kingdom first now. That's why we do what we do, to teach us spiritual maturity, to help us in that journey to reach spiritual maturity. You know what a baby wants? A baby wants all the attention on him. I want milk. And a lot of us in church never grow up. They didn't do this to me. The pastor didn't greet me. And the shall leader. And all it's, we never grow up. And it's all about you and me. That's babies. And you get in line with an agreement. You realize now after, it's not about your milk. Okay, you can stay without that for now. You won't die. Okay, just focus here now. We are busy with the kingdom of God now. You can have your milk later. We'll get it to you. But it's not the highest priority right now. But it's an opportunity for us to. It's sometimes difficult. You know what? It's sometimes difficult to worship and to follow Christ when we have a need and we have to place that aside just for a moment. I'm not saying God doesn't want to take care of that need. Hear my heart. Sometimes we are so broken. Sometimes we have such a need just for God to come through. And God says, just wait a minute, man. And we'll talk about that. That's just like my wife almost want to say. It happened like that. For me, it was such a massive thing. God, how am I going to find a wife? Man, when God when it happened just like that, and I thought, God, why was it such a burden to me? You can do that so easily. And God does the same with us. Sometimes we think, oh, God, if this is not going to happen, I'm dying as a Christian. I should have this, or you need to come through. And God says, oh, it's all right, I've got that covered. Can we just focus here? Can we just come into agreement? Because I want you to share in this collective victory. Amen.